Sunflower Association of Realtors is a membership organization for Realtor members in Northeast Kansas and is committed to providing members with opportunities and resources to enhance their professional skills while helping members become more profitable and successful.
It's time to get down to business on TK Business Live, brought to you by the members of the Topeka Independent Business Association. Now, let's join Tara Dimmick, owner and publisher of TK Business Magazine, as we take a look into the business world of Topeka, Kansas.
Hi, and welcome to TK Business Live. I'm Tara Dimmick, and it's great to be with you this Saturday. I have a good friend in the studio with me. I'm really excited to have Todd Thompson join me. He's Leavenworth County attorney, which you might be thinking, okay, so why do you have Leavenworth County attorney in the office? Well, we got to spend, what was like almost a year, it was like 8 months of our lives doing Leadership Kansas. And it was just an awesome experience, and we got to know each other well. And he has a wealth of knowledge that he's going to share with us today, so I'm excited about it.
Well, I appreciate it, Tara. Thank you for having me. You know, everything that you're accomplishing right now has just been mind-blowing, so this is going to be awesome, and I look forward and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, so we were off the air, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff that goes on when it comes to crimes, and so we're going to spend some time talking about business-related crimes and things that you can do to maybe help prevent, as well as just be aware of what's going on. And so one of the big ones, and I know we see it in the financial world, is scams. We're seeing them all the time. So talk a little bit about what's going on and what we should do.
Oh my gosh. You know, people are getting called out the wazoo about scams. I mean, they get it every single IRS. So I've received numerous, like, my social security number is being suspended. That will never happen. They called, like, you have a warrant. That will never happen. In fact, with a social security person, I actually, you know, it was like, press one to reactivate your social security number or whatever. And I'm like, well, there's not going to be effect. I hit the one. I started talking to a guy, and he was like, you have issues. And I'm like, no, I think you have issues. I was like, I don't think you realize you're talking to law enforcement right now. So I need to know what your name is and where you're at. And he's like, and then click. So I never got a call back. So far I've been free of that. But I would not suggest that for the average person. I would probably suggest to just continue to block the numbers. The main thing I suggest, don't give out any identifiers. Don't give them their birthday, social security number, your address. Don't give them credit card numbers, anything to anybody. There will be never a reason for someone to call you to say you have a warrant. They won't do that. They'll show up.
Right.
They're not going to, you know, call you. Why would they? They'd tip you off. So any one of those factors. And if you hear something, even if it's like a prize, you just won this, you won this, whatever. I don't care what the prize may be. Look it up first.
You know, one of the things I've noticed with my calls is that they're getting the phone numbers of people that I do expect to call me or organizations I expect to call me. I even had one that came from the sheriff's office. It looked like it was coming from the sheriff's office. They somehow take the number, and that's what shows up on your phone. And so it's getting harder and harder to just be like, oh, that's an out-of-town phone number. I'll just ignore that. I am picking up more and more of those calls.
Well, yeah, and they're real crazy. I mean, most people aren't using email as much as they're doing with text or phone. But even if your email, you know, click on the name you see, because it's usually, especially if it doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, there's been the common scam of, hey, I'm stuck in this foreign country. I mean, I've had that sent from my wife who's sitting next to me, and apparently she was stuck in, you know, Egypt. And I'm like, well, that's odd because she's right next to me, but I need to wire her money. You know, don't do that. I mean, I know it seems, you know, silly, like I would never do something like that, but you get caught into it. Or you just see the name, you're late at night or early in the morning, you're not thinking, you hit the button. Well, if you hit that button that has the link, I mean, next thing you know, they have all your data. They have all your information. I mean, just don't hit the links. And in fact, what I generally do is I email the actual person and say, is this a real link? If the address, I make sure the address matches is probably the number one thing, because you can tell that right off the bat. But the way technology is now today, it just says a name. you know, and doesn't show you the whole address or the number, you know. And so, you know, you really need to, you know, just be a little bit smarter about it. Be a little bit more like, hey, that's probably too good to be true. Anything too good to be true, just like it always is probably, you
know. Too good to be true.
Exactly.
So one of the things that we experienced was where they want gift cards. And so they'll scam the name, and then they'll say, hey, make sure you get these gift cards and send them to so-and-so and send them to this address. Why gift cards?
Well, they're not traceable. We actually had a lot of cases that way because, you know, the minute that's in a gift card, you can't take that away from them. So, you know, it's gone. You know, you can't recollect it to the credit card, everything, you know, and you can't stop the payment immediately. I mean, it's gone. It's in the gift cards, a due number, new process, everything like that. And so, you know, it's free money and it's untraceable, you know, and you know, we've been able to stop that before. With video surveillance and cameras from the places they go to. But the problems with all these scams, like email, phone number, you know, phone calls, whatever, you know, if they're foreign or abroad, we're not going to be able to trace it down. They're pretty good about it not being able to be traced at all. So even if you turn it over to law enforcement, which I would always suggest you do, and I know a lot of people just ignore it, and I understand that because it's really hard to prosecute because you have to know the actual person or entity that it is doing this. And you can't find it because they're not a real person.
So what do you do or what do you recommend when it comes to somebody you care about? So whether it's maybe elder abuse, when it comes to these scams where they are a loved one's getting scammed, they're calling and you start seeing red flags as maybe a family member. Is there anything you can do to help stop that scam from happening with that person you care for and love?
Well, you know, that's a good question because, you know, it depends, you know, how competent they are. Now, if they're not competent, you know, you can try to get up a power attorney or guardian and conservatorship. Conservatorship deals with more of the monetary. Guardianship deals with their personal well-being. If they're of sound mind and sound body and they're still doing, you know, well, I mean, hopefully you can sit them down and talk to them. We see a lot of, and it's not really a business scam, but we see a lot of like potential love interests that they meet online, that they fall for the person, so to speak, and they don't even know them. And they want that attention. And next thing, money is just transferring out. And if they seem like they're knowing everything that they're doing, the only thing you can do is really try to talk to them because, you know, it's their money. They have that right to do whatever they want to do, you know? And so that's the best thing is try to, you know, force the interaction with the supposed influencer so they can get a realization that maybe, hey, this isn't real, you know.
Yeah.
On the contrary, you know, maybe they really did find the love of their life and they need $50,000. I don't know.
That too happens. I'm
yes,
sure.
I guess. Yeah. I don't believe
you'll
it.
You'll never meet me, but I do need $50,000. Yeah. And I will keep emailing you to keep that money rolling in.
Yeah, I live in a bit of a cynical world about that stuff, but whatever, you know.
Okay, so let's, you know, thinking about scams and things like that, there's a lot of identity theft that happens and check theft. Talk a little bit about maybe what businesses need to know. But, I mean, all these businesses, there are a lot of individuals who are dealing with check theft.
Well, you know, and so that's the big thing. A lot of the tellers, a lot of the people, and, you know, they're doing a business on a regular basis. They need to pay attention. You know, they really need to pay attention. They need to get the driver's license, which you're supposed to show, and they need to get a copy of that. They need to make sure that it looks like the person that they're getting the items from. And so most of the banks and things of that nature, ATMs, everything have cameras. They need to be good cameras. They need to be high quality, and they need to be able to focus on actual person's faces. What we see a lot of businesses have is they're more if it's especially like a convenience store or something, if they're getting money that way, they're more concerned about their own employees having stealing from them than they are worried about the customers. And so what we find is images just of the employee, you know, going in and out of the register. So you need to think about your positioning of your cameras, the quality of your cameras, how well they work. Most of these people don't even know how the camera works. Most of the people don't have cameras that do work. So they or they don't know how to get the information off the video. And those are things that need to happen almost instantaneously, because we do understand that videos, you know, tape over themselves because, you know, they just can't keep that constant memory. And some are up to 30 days, some can be shorter. But we find real often is that they don't get that information off, or the camera is not working, there's bad quality. So those things, I think, are really, you know, really need to be looked at, how good the quality is. And any business should be doing that. There's also really, like, if you have extra cell phones, there's a lot of apps out there. There's one called Minything. I mean, even if you're a, you know, even if you're a person, you could plug your phone in, you know, your old phone, turn the camera on, and it'll record just like it would be a camera. So you don't even need to have like a security camera. You can use that in a shop, just as easy as anything else, as long as you get some good quality. A lot of the stores like Walmart's and I don't know why I added a plural to it. Walmart and things like that, they have so many cameras, it's not even funny. But a lot of these smaller businesses just don't do that or don't have it. And they're worried about the cost. But the cost keeps going down lower and lower and lower. And so they really need to look into it. And I know it's a new world and we hate to think like, hey, that's going to happen. But it's just, you know, it's just for your own sanity, you know, just to have it. Make sure there's night censored cameras so you can see, you know, things that happen at night. And those things are really going to be helpful. You know, I know George Orwell was all, you know, mentioned 1984 about cameras everywhere. But if we want to prosecute a case in this world, the way as much that you see on TV and everything like that, the advent of everybody needs to have a body camera, all the officers need to have body cameras on. Juries are expecting that now. They don't like just to take the word of anybody anymore. They want to see the video if possible. And so for prosecutors, we either have to explain why there wasn't, and most people understand if a camera doesn't work or something like that, but they still, you know, sometimes it looks suspicious. So those are things that we really look at. And I kind of went down a tangent, you know, for stores and things, for law enforcement, they need to know who the teller is. They need to have good information about, you know, who that person is. Oftentimes we see law enforcement go in and say, okay, got a check, you know, went bad, and they go out and leave, and they're like, okay, this is, you know, this is what we know. They didn't do, you know, they got the bank manager or the bank vice president, you know, they got that person's name, you know, could be your name for that matter. Right. Next thing you know, you get subpoenaed into court, and you're like, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't see the person. I might not have even been in the office. I might have been taping a show, you know? So I'm not the person. And they're like, well, who was the person? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll have to figure it out. Well, we need that. We need to know who the person is that took it. Did they look at them? Were they able to identify them? And did the driver's license look like the person's face? I mean, I'd be surprised how many times, like, well, I can't remember. Well, no, they should know every single time that they take some type of check or something like that, that they looked at it and go, yes, that is that person. I will say we've had cases where twins have used the other person's identity. And
ouch.
Yeah. Or siblings and, you know.
And so, a few family problems at home.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes it a little easier because it wasn't me. Well, they had all the identity. Well, you know, there's a reason why, you know, looks just like me. So,
that's so, okay. So I've had checks stolen out of my mailbox,
mm-hmm.
which somebody should probably go, why would you put a check in your mailbox? But I did it. And, you know, they come by and they just pull out whatever's in your mailbox.
Who wouldn't?
And so we've had, you know, law enforcement show up at the house and say, here, we found this check on this person's car that we pulled over. So fortunately, they pulled them over. But you probably need to redo all your accounts now because they have your information potentially. And I've had the check creation. So somebody, I don't think they didn't wash my checks. They actually recreated checks. So, you know, did they go to a financial institution and actually just recreate accounts? And that's what I would assume.
No, they can just use a printer.
Yeah, use a printer.
I mean, really, all they have to have is identifying marks, and they should be able to pass whatever check if they can. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only reason I caught it was because they wrote a check to Target, and I thought, I wouldn't write a check to Target. There's no way I would slow the line down. So that was my red flag, was that. And this is, I've had two instances of that. And then I've had another where somebody took my driver's license. So this is, it's not, you know, I want to say like, oh, this doesn't happen to people. This has happened to me three times in different
right.
ways.
Right.
So this is heavy and it's constant. What are you seeing?
No, I see that. I see the same thing all the time. I mean, you know, besides the drug issues that we see constantly, and probably usually the reason everybody does a lot of the stuff that we see, we're seeing people just going and taking checkbooks, taking credit cards. I mean, because people aren't using checks as much anymore, and we're seeing a trend, like checks are being used less and more. It's debit cards and credit cards and such like that. And I know that all these companies, such as yours, are doing everything impossible to to make it, you know, extremely difficult for someone to continue to steal that idea. But, you know, if it's a relative and we see it all the time, you know, they'll know the PIN number, they'll know how to get the money, and next thing you know, it's gone. So hyper-vigilance is always what is necessary for that. Also, you know, paying attention, you just got to be paying attention. And people get, I think, complacent, lazy, or just like, that's not something they're going to focus on until it happens to them. And it just takes a little bit of time, you know, a little bit of like, okay, this all matches up to everything on my credit card. You know, this matches up. I had it happen to me where apparently I bought a bounce house and a go-kart in California. I did not do that. and they called me up and I'm like, yeah, I mean, it would be nice, but no, I'm not going to pay for that person. You know, they're like, yeah, we wondered, it went to an apartment, and you know,
and a lot of financial institutions are being actually really vigilant, and financial institutions, credit card companies, where they are red flagging and cutting you off if something comes out of a different state. They don't even want you there. So, okay.
That's the thing. I often hear people like, oh, they called me because I use my
company that calls you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I would tell them, send them a thank you letter.
Yes.
You know, I mean, who cares? You know, I've actually, you know, traveled all over and I don't get called. And I was like, well, maybe I travel too much. You know, I need to be like, why aren't you calling me? You don't know that I'm here,
right.
You know. But maybe they also paying attention to my flight records. And if they are, that's a little creepy, but hey, whatever.
It's what it is. Okay, so you mentioned drugs, and I just want to touch on it because one of the workforce issues that I think a lot of companies I hear are dealing with is the employees are not necessarily not out there, but they can't pass a drug test. What's going on in Kansas when it comes to... I know that's a big question.
Well, I know like a couple years ago, the governor passed a law that took out the check for, you know, whether you have been convicted of a crime, which that has helped in employment issues. Something that is happening, we were one of the ones that helped start this, is the Ben Expungement Day program, and Shawnee County's done it, and Sedgwick, and now multiple other counties where we're being vigilant about actually helping people clear their records so they can get off, get a clean record. So I would have, anyone who's had, you know, been free and clear of any crime for several years, I would suggest looking into that. There's also a lot of qualifiers. Not everybody's qualified, but a lot of people are, and it would be really good to help clean out the record. And it can be real easy, and you can find resources to make it virtually free. For the people, you know, they just need to apply. There needs to be a little bit of trust for the employers to try them to see if they work. You know, obviously you're going to supervise any new employee and check that out. Talk to them. Find out about what their record is. Hopefully they're honest. I mean, there's ways to do background checks for employers, and I would suggest to do that. We're seeing a trend of people getting more and more jobs, but we're also seeing a trend of people not wanting to work, as you know, and finding ways around that. And I would hope that would change society, and I would hope people can, you know, be more vigilant and not use this excuse, you know, like, I can't find it because of my record. So I would ask, you know, people, be proactive. If you can't get your record expunged yet, you know, keep working, and then you can get those qualifiers.
That's good. I don't think I ever realized that that was what that was for. I had I've seen promotions on expungement days. Am I saying that?
Mm-hmm. Right? Expungement, yeah.
And so what a great opportunity for people to clean up their
background. I mean, they will have, no record. They don't even have to worry about when they come down there. They can basically write off any type of thing saying, I am record free. I have no crime. I mean, that not only gives them access to better jobs, it gives them access to better housing. It gives them access to educational things that they might not have been able to, certifications for medical licenses such as nursing and such. And it's things that people don't think about. And really, it's paperwork that they can find online, fill out, pay the court costs, and even get those court costs waived if they figure out a financial affidavit. So, I mean, whatever county you might be in, I would look into it. I mean, particularly if you got yourself, you know, squared away. And if they say no, you know, you can figure out why. Generally, it's just because it hasn't been enough time since the last conviction or when you were on probation or whatever. But these are things that can help you move past. We had a real nice story of like a 81-year-old man. He came in to our office. He kind of shuffled up to our receptionist and he said, I was at my church. They told me about this expungement thing. And he goes, I've never used a computer. I tried to figure it out in the library. I just couldn't do it. Can you just help me out? And so my receptionist got out all the paperwork and worked with him to fill out all the paperwork. And he goes, I just want to be able to die and not think that I have this conviction still on me and that I can be a completely free man. And sure enough, we were able to get that expunged. And I mean, it's like one of the happiest things he said he's had happen to him, you know, in his entire life since that incident happened to him. So.
Wow, that's huge. Okay, so I have a few more minutes and I want to, you know, kind of in talking about that, we talked off air about how young people can get themselves into trouble and early on, and then they deal with this stuff hangs over their head. So I want to talk a little bit about social media and what you're seeing with social media and maybe, you know, what we should be thinking about it, whether it's with our kids or ourselves. It's not like it's just the kids, right? It's so much bigger than that. So what about social media are you seeing and should somebody know?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, adults, kids, whatever. I mean, everything's being out there. Everything's being exposed. Like I said, that's we use that for evidence all the time. So I'm, you know, please put everything out there for us, especially if you're, you know, wanting to get involved in a crime. It really does help us.
We appreciate your help.
Yeah, you know, please, you know, and so I'm hoping not many criminals are listening to this. Anyway, seriously though, people need. I worry about the advent of social media and the way that it doesn't cause socialization one-on-one. Our leadership program is fantastic because it had 40 of us that were basically, you know, not really allowed to use our phones and we had to interact. And now I made best friends such as yourself and, you know, many others. David, Trey, Jeff. That's what I worry because what you see is a lot of animosity. Then the other thing is the records. They're kept forever. So, you know, you're a dumb kid and you take a photo of yourself that's not appropriate. Next thing you know, that's never going to go away. It's always going to be out there and it's going to follow you. You just have to learn to, you know, accept that it's there and maybe it was just a dumb mistake or hopefully, you know, people just don't forget about it because that's the other thing in this modern world is, you know, something happens this week, no one thinks about it next week. But
until it's a valuable tool that can, you know, be used against you.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, hopefully people are learning right now things that happened in the past and dumb mistakes are dumb mistakes and people can move on. And that's the real important thing is I think there needs to be a lot more in our society of forgiveness, of realizing that even such as the expungement day, a lot of people had issues with even myself doing something like that because I was giving a pass on a criminal who'd done something. And what I'm really doing is giving a helpful hand for someone who hit rock bottom and moved himself or herself up. And it's the same thing with this is people post something dumb in the past, but for jobs, you know, for work, people look at that. I mean, I know that I hire people. I know you hire people. And one of the first things I do is I'll Google search you. I'll go to your social media. I'll look at what pictures you have. And if your profile's open, I'll go through it and see what type of person you are and what you've done and what you've not done. And it's a great exemplifier of what it is. And I'm not going to LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is your resume. Fine. I'm going to go to your Twitter. I'm going to see what opinions you have. I'm going to go to your Facebook and what you post. I'm going to go to, you know, your Instagram. I'm going to see, you know, where you go, how often you're out, everything like that. I mean, I know employers use that all the time. Like, I'm sick, and then they go to the Instagram, and then they're out
at a concert.
Yeah, at a concert, at a pool, or whatever. I mean, people are just, you know, wanting to share everything and thinking people like who are in the employers are dumb. They're not. They have the same capabilities, and the employees are definitely paying attention to you too, because I know my staff, if someone does something dumb, and usually it doesn't happen, but they'll come right into me and go, did you see what such and such said? And now they're not here today, you know?
Yeah. And it's happening on all levels. I think about once you're in working for someone too, like, and you talked about like, take the day off, but the whole culture of your organization can be impacted depending on like the level you are. So a higher level person making certain posts can cause just as much damage as that lower person individually. It can cause a cultural issue.
Well, you can, and I mean, topical, the Court of Appeals judge who got approved almost all the way through, and then someone went through their Twitter and saw all the anti-Trump messages, and that immediately quashed a person for being, you know, overly opinionated. I mean, that's a real world, huge example. But this happens, you know, in smaller businesses too. I mean, all the way down to, you know, every little bit of it. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm not trying to advise people not to post things.
Right, because you need it.
You know, I do. I need to prosecute my cases. Please show me your guns and drugs and where you're going to be at, and we can get a good case. But, you know, that's the other thing. And you know, the other thing is just learn to talk to people.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a really valuable skill.
Yeah. I mean, pick up the phone. Go have a conversation with the person in the elevator or while you're waiting in the waiting line. Don't just look down on your phone, you know? Try to say hi. Because if you do that, you're going to start building a lot more relationships, friendships, and warmth. And we'll see a lot more, less animosity in the posts and a lot less trolling. And yeah. Because, you know, I like to always say is the people that I see trolling and getting this movement of like this huge negativity are those old, you know, drunk uncles that, you know, no one paid attention to in the family, but now they have a voice. Now they have a place to put it out there. And for whatever reason, people are looking at that and reading it because it's to them, it's just like a car accident where everybody turns their head and wants to watch, you know?
Yeah, that's a great example.
You know?
Okay, so I'm about ready to go over time.
Sorry.
So Todd, thank you so much for joining
Absolutely.
Me. Todd Thompson, the Leavenworth County attorney. And a quick shout out to our sponsor, the Topeka Independent Business Association. You can learn more about them at Topeka, TIBA. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Family owned and operated since 1975, Lawyers Title of Kansas has a dedicated, experienced, and professional staff that provides a proactive approach to make the process a smooth and seamless experience. Get more than a title policy. Get a partnership beyond your expectations.
My name is Jennifer Kermis, Vice President of Business Development with the Jura Credit Union.
TIBA is advice and support. TIBA is information and education. TIBA is a voice for small businesses.
My biggest advantage would be being able to network and get to know who all of the members are of TIBA and how their businesses operate, what the different needs are for their business, and really get to understand the different business opportunities that are out there in Topeka.
The Topeka Independent Business Association is strong because of its members. Become a member today by visiting topekatiba.org.
Thanks for joining Tara and her guests on TK Business Live. Join us again to hear more from our community business leaders, entrepreneurs, and people making a difference in the landscape of how business is progressively moving forward in Topeka. TK Business Live is brought to you by the members of the Topeka Independent Business Association.